KALW.
There's almost like a tension building up that I'm really excited to see where it leads.
Yesterday, we met a group of people planning a protest about racial inclusion at Burning Man. Turns out, that is not easy.
We are hot. There's a tremendous lack of sleep. The environment here breaks us, and you just see the exhaustion on people's faces.
Today, we join them on their march, and the ending? Well, you'll just have to listen.
Black Lives Matter at Black Rock City! Black Lives Matter!
It's the final episode of The Intersection at Burning Man. That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents.
Black Lives Matter on Black Rock City. Black Lives Matter on Black Rock City.
Today, we're bringing you the final chapter from The Intersection at Burning Man. This is part two of a two-part episode. Yesterday in part one, we learned that one of the principles guiding Burning Man is radical inclusion. But just 1% of attendees self-identify as Black and less than 5% Hispanic or Latinx. That is why Fabiana Rodriguez started a petition demanding real reform at the Burning Man project. And after feeling rebuffed by Burning Man's CEO, Fabiana and her campmates at Que Viva Camp decided to organize a protest, which is easier said than done in the middle of the desert without modern amenities like texting and social media. Cross Currents managing editor David Boyer met up with Fabiana at her camp the day before the protest.
Burning Man is an emotional and physical roller coaster with intense highs and lows. Yesterday, Fabiana and her crew were buzzing around and feeling good about the planning. All of the pieces were falling into place. Today is a different story.
We are hot. There's a tremendous lack of sleep. The environment here breaks us, and you just see the exhaustion on people's faces. And so I'm just chatting with Jazz, my co-lead for this year.
I am indeed extremely exhausted, and not just from the physical heat or just the physical labor, but I think just being out here and just realizing that this space was not curated for us.
On the one hand, Que Viva is feeling the support from a lot of white burners like Slim. He was just passing by and saw the Black Lives Matter signs.
We were driving by in the parade earlier. I saw your camp.
These are our demands. Of the organization.
Oh, are you the ones doing the petition?
Yes.
Burning Man is very diverse. We have white people here from all over the world.
Yeah. You
know, both subjectively and objectively, we know that this community is not as diverse as it should be, and we can do a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to be critical of the things that you love. So,
okay, great.
Thank you for
thank
what you're doing.
You.
But then there are also burners who push back at the camp's social justice message.
Like, it's already happened twice where a white person comes marching into our kitchen and says, I need to talk to somebody about that sign. They come to basically drop their on all their unprocessed race stuff. And
what are they dropping?
They're basically saying, you know, we're all free here. And also that, like, why Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter? You know, why do we have to separate? I have a Black friend, son, Black wife, same shit.
A lot of burners will see our Black Lives Matter sign and say, Burning Man is not a political space.
The fact that you could gather 75,000 white people in the desert, relatively unpatrolled, unengaging with the police, is an extreme display of white privilege. You cannot gather 75,000 Black people here, okay?
How can an event that's over 90% white not be a political fact in itself, right?
Despite this, Jazz, who is Japanese and Black, has had some moments of magic and levity out here.
I had this beautiful, glorious experience with some of our campmates at the Reformation, where you get completely lathered in soap and dance and be naked, and a beautiful reminder of what freedom in our body could actually look like.
But the good vibes didn't last long. Almost immediately after, she spotted a massive art car shaped like an atomic bomb.
And at the bottom of the perimeter are origami cranes. The Japanese made origami cranes as a method of healing and community recovery after the atomic bomb murdered thousands of people. And we asked what the camp name was, and it's called something absolutely ridiculous, like Bomagami. And there were these white guys who were just dancing on this art car. And I just broke down. I couldn't deal with that. And I was explaining the same story to a white person, and they were like, oh, of course, because you're Japanese, you have that impact. I'm like, no, everyone needs to be impacted by it. Everyone needs to understand that that is not even, not just violent imagery, that is colonial messaging, that is extremely unacceptable for that to be in this space. And for us to know that this container has allowed for an art car like that to get through inspection, I had a moment of not wanting to believe in this space anymore.
Her campmate, Jamila Reddy, says this is what people of color mean when they talk about emotional labor.
I can't even articulate it because it's in my body, the toll it takes. It is truly like I had done a triathlon. I mean, that's when we were out sleeping, both of us. Out. Jazz was like, I have to take a nap. And I'm like, wow, that's the effect. Actually, it feels confusing. I'm kind of like, I did all of this work, truly, to get here. I'm using all of my vacation hours. Why? You know, if I'm doing all this work and all this labor to be here, what am I doing it for? Especially with all this energy around the petition, like, is this really the cause? That we're all doing all this work, you know? Like, is this it?
She's also not sure about her camp's strategy.
I think the thing I'm learning is that there might be some creating that needs to happen on our part. You know, I'm like, man, like, maybe we need to show the evidence of possibility of what happens when it's actually POC-led and it's actually inclusive. It's like asking someone to cook a meal that you know how to cook without giving them a recipe and trying to kind of talk them through the recipe, and they're like, what? They don't have the ingredients. But I'm like, our pantry is stocked. And so maybe, actually, what I really want to do is sit here and be served this delicious meal. That's really what I want, if I'm being honest. But I think I'm just going to have to make it.
That's precisely what photographer Erin Douglas is doing with her Black Burner project. You see, midweek through her second year at Burning Man, she was sitting around at her camp talking with some folks about the photos she was taking, and offhandedly, she mentioned that she would love to gather all the people of color on the playa for a group photo.
And this guy, he just said, well, just do it. Just start telling people, like, a location, time, and date, and just do it. And I was just like, oh, okay, you know. So I started telling it whoever I saw, and leaving my camp that day, I did not think anybody was going to show up. I really didn't. I was very nervous. I had to convince myself that I would be okay if three people showed. I just didn't want to be standing out there by myself. But and I get over there, and I was like, oh wait, there's people here, you know. Like, oh, I think about 30 people, 35 people who showed up. Definitely cried, like, biking away from that. I was very emotional.
Why?
It had a lot to do with coming in as an artist who self-taught, and my confidence has been low, you know, most of my life, and especially in regards to me as an artist. So it started to, like, really break down some of those things and what I was capable of achieving if I just did it or tried or believed in it.
This year, there's plenty of buzz around Erin's project. In fact, all week, people have been telling her that she needs to be at this group photo.
Not knowing that I was the person putting it on. And, I'm humble, so I would just be like, oh, okay, great, I'll be there. But my friends would be like, she's the more person, you know, like, she's doing it.
Today is the day Fabiana and Kayviva Camp will deliver their petition to the board and staff of Burning Man.
It's like we're in the metamorphosis time.
Yeah, we are.
What is the stage? It's called?
Chrysalis.
The shit is about to start. I'm going to start getting ready.
By 2:30, there's a buzz of activity and anticipation at Kayviva as about 150 marchers gather. The crowd is largely white, which makes sense given the demographics of Burning Man.
Let's go ahead and start with a grounding breath. Let's breathe in our shared intention to radically transform this place. So at the count of three, one, two, three.
Now, it's important to keep in mind what else is going on the Playa right now. There are hundreds of gatherings and events, including 4 official orgies, talks on biohacking, psychedelics, and capitalism, workshops on dream interpretation, leadership, and the activated womb. You can take a sonic spaceship ride, get a snow cone, make a friendship bracelet, or go to a classical piano recital of Nirvana tunes. As it turns out, Erin's group photo also overlaps with the march.
Great. We are hoping that the folks of color can march in the front, followed by our deaf campmates backfire, because inclusion really means all of us. When we are all free, that is when true transformation can happen. And then I invite white allies to be in the back.
While we're waiting to start moving, I approach 2 women, one white and one black.
Could you guys mind talking for a sec?
Fine with it, but I will defer to my campmate, Nika.
Sure, why not? My name is Marnika Shelton, also known as Nika Sherelle. I'm from Oakland, California. This is my first burn. And right now, we are walking to Center Camp to get to know Playa and check in with a rideshare.
Okay.
Oh, you're not coming to our petition.
The petition.
This is a petition drama for inclusion at Burning Man.
That makes me so happy. I actually walked up and I was like, what is this thing I found myself happily in? And now I'm glad that I'm happily in it. Yeah. I feel like that's how the burn works. Like, you find what you find, and you don't find what you don't find, but you can't be sad. So this is exactly where I need to be.
We're marching now, and they've asked for POC to be in the front and white folks to be in the back. And
look at that, black privilege.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move! Inclusion! No! What do we want? And when do we want it?
Turn around! Come with us!
We need you! We need you! We need you!
No justice! No peace! No justice!
Look what you got yourself involved in.
I know, right? This is fantastic.
No justice! No peace! No justice, no peace!
The guy next to me is crying.
It's just really nice to see people of color gathering, because you don't really see it here.
Black Lives Matter on Black Rock City!
Black Lives Matter on Black Rock City!
Black Lives Matter on Black Rock City!
As the protest winds its way through the city towards Center Camp, I run into Marnika again.
Look at you, now you got a banner.
I know, right? I'm coming all the way up in the world.
Real quick.
I'll be leading this thing next.
We end up packed into a makeshift auditorium that's typically used for artist talks.
If you are a board member, I invite you to come join us right here.
It seems that none of the board or staff members have shown up.
If they are not here, then that is in fact a reflection of what you choose to prioritize and what you care about. If Burning Man is truly a place where folks come to get free, where we are imagining the cities of the future, where we are experimenting together to create the world we want, you cannot and you will not create that city without people of color at the center of that city. So I'm once again going to ask, who is here who will receive our ask to the organization?
Gustavo Campos, Burning Man's education project manager, raises his hand.
I'm not a board member, but I'll take it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gustavo. Thank you. So to our fellow siblings that make this city run, we speak to you from our hearts to ask you to create a more inclusive city for all of us. We thank you for being here and standing in solidarity with with us.
As this is wrapping up, 250 people of color from all over the playa are converging just a few hundred yards away for Aaron's group photo.
I need y'all to look powerful. I need y'all to look bold and fierce.
Just say I'm gonna count off. 1, 2, 3.
Now counting off, okay?
Step back a little bit. Step back.
Even as she was about to take the group's photo, people of color kept jumping into the frame. Each time, they were met with a loud cheer.
1, 2, 3.
People were sliding in, and it wasn't until later where people were like, I was coming from the march, and I found out there. It was interesting that they were happening at the same time and that I didn't know until after.
I catch up with Fabiana.
Talk to me.
I was actually shocked because I expected more of them in a moment like this. And I feel like heartbroken.
I remind her that she and her campmates organized a protest in the middle of the desert and that a lot of people showed up, including Torian Richardson.
I didn't know. I was just going by and saw it. And I actually work in diversity and inclusion.
Oh, you do?
I do.
While I was here, there was people who committed to come, and they didn't show up. And
that from the board?
From the board. And they didn't show up. It's just a big message.
Well, whatever I can do. I didn't know anything about this, but I sit on two boards now.
Yeah, and you know that boards is where it's at.
Oh, that's what I said.
Why does that matter?
Because if you think about any diversity and inclusion project, all you have to do is look at their board of directors and their executive team to really determine how serious they are about real inclusion.
Because what does a board do?
Because a board dictates strategy, it dictates resource allocation, people, places, and things, right? Money that goes behind things, and the long-term vision of what's executed. It's the same thing with Burning Man.
Meanwhile, Fabiana sends Big Daddy and a team of white allies to deliver a big banner with the petition's demands to First Camp, which is where most of the board stays. I tag along, very conspicuously, in a dusty ladybug outfit that I've been rocking for days.
Is anyone here on the board? If you know any board members, we're leaving this here for them, since they did not show up to meet with the amazing POC camp that led this action. So that's why we're walking over here, is because they didn't meet, and that's deeply upsetting in a world where people of color are being murdered and disenfranchised and coming here and trying to find a place of inclusion and not finding it. And so we actually have to take concrete steps to make this a place where they can find it. Please make sure that message gets along as best possible. Thank you.
Is anyone here actually on the board? He is? You're on the board? Hi.
Yeah, I'm not doing any interviews today.
Okay.
I will talk about my second book. So I have two books out. My second book, which will be out in December of 2020, is basically a guidebook on how we can save the planet for humanity. And it's what I've learned throughout my life. I'm 71 years old. And it's Burning Man is an example of how humans could live together in harmony.
So, question for you. Why do you think there's still like 1% black people here?
I can't answer that. I don't know. There's no reason that it shouldn't be higher. And I'd love to see it higher, at least at the same percentages that the people of color are in the world. And it should be that. One of our principles is radical inclusion. And I believe we live to that principle really well. So.
I hear that. And yet, I guess these folks don't feel that that's happening.
Well, that would be their problem.
That they don't feel that it's happening?
Well, I mean, how do you make it happen? I mean, do you recruit? I mean, I don't know. Is that another form of segregation in a certain way? I mean, like the whole idea of picking on a particular part of our segment of population and recruiting, I'm not sure if that's what is needed. I think as we bring more people of color into the Black Rock City, then it will become a movement of that, and I think that that's about to take place.
So in terms of the board of directors, from what I understand, there are not people of color on it, or not, there's, I don't know.
Well, there's men and women, which is really nice. And I don't think there is anyone of color, although we do have Oriental people on the board, so it's not just white people. I mean, there are people of color, yeah. And again, I don't think any of that is on purpose. It's just the way it is.
Thank you. Do you mind introducing yourself and the name of your book?
I'm Will Roger. I'm one of the cultural co-founders of Burning Man. And my book is Compass of the Ephemeral by Small Works Press.
At the end of 2019, Burning Man added several new board members, including an Iranian-American couple who made a fortune in tech, and Fab Five Freddy, a Black burner who also hosted Yo MTV Raps in the 1980s. Faviana did get her meeting with CEO Marion Goodell, but this February, KVIVA made an announcement. They would not be returning to the Playa until, quote, we see evidence that the Burning Man organization is taking concrete steps to address its lack of racial diversity. And then the world changed. First, a pandemic spread across the globe and altered our day-to-day lives. We sheltered in place, hoping it would be for just a few weeks. As weeks turned to months, it became clear we wouldn't be returning to normal life anytime soon, and we would not be returning to the Playa this year. The world changed once again when George Floyd pleaded, "I can't breathe," as a police officer choked him to death by kneeling on his neck. It was one in a string of killings, and it sparked Black Lives Matter protests around the globe and a larger awakening around systemic racism in the United States and the lasting effects of slavery. It also activated something in Erin Douglas. To be more precise, she was disappointed by what she perceived as Burning Man's muted response to the killings and Black Lives Matter.
It gave no action items, so I couldn't tell where they stood and didn't say, like, we will not stand for. These are the things that we need to do, even if we haven't been doing them in the past. They didn't say any of that. And so people were like, oh, so you care more about being safe and protecting those people and letting them do that than about other demographics within your community. And if you're going to have something like radical inclusion at the top of your principles list, then you might need to like step back for a second and think about it, you know. And I think that's also when it clicked of like, this is where Faviana comes in and why she has something like a petition or these demands. And is like, this is what we want. This is what you need to do. And being very stern and adamant about those asks when it comes to leaders in the organization.
The organization seems to be listening. In July, Burning Man started a diversity and radical inclusion advisory group, which includes photographer Erin Douglas and Marlon Williams from KVIVA. And at the end of August, Burning Man Project acknowledged that, quote, we have a long way to go to make Black Rock City and other Burning Man spaces truly radically inclusive, and we are here to do the work. Their first initiatives address some of the demands in Faviana's petition, including unconscious bias and anti-racism training for staff and board, rethinking their hiring process, and trying to increase participation of Black, Indigenous, and other people of color through both outreach and funding. Faviana says it's a strong start, but she's quick to point out that there are no specifics or measurable goals, no numbers, dollars, or timelines. As I see it, Burning Man is at a crossroads. It has been a beautiful and transformative mirage for many, but not all. And maybe this is the moment that we choose a different path. Instead of trying to keep the real world at bay, maybe this is our chance to transform it, to become a model of what's possible instead of an escape from what's happening.
That story was produced by David Boyer. It's the latest and final episode of KLW's original podcast, The Intersection at Burning Man. If you want to hear the rest of the series and find out more about Burning Man's virtual event that's happening right now, go to klw.org. Today's Cross Currents team includes Christopher Agusa, Imran Ali Malik, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega Welch, Babette Thomas, and Joshua Sirodiak. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.